Good morning, and welcome to Simply Crypto. It's Tuesday, April 16th. On today's show, BRICS supports cryptocurrency for global trade, not the US dollar, and the Bank of Russia backs cryptocurrency usage for international settlements. Plus, a Nebraska man is accused of defrauding cloud service providers over $3.5 million to mine crypto. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Crypto. We start off with news from Russia, which is looking to accept cryptocurrencies for cross-border trade settlements as the country faces economic sanctions from the U.S. The Bank of Russia announced plans to push crypto payments with other countries earlier this month. For more, we're joined by our correspondent. So what exactly is Russia proposing here with crypto payments?
The Bank of Russia confirmed it will launch cryptocurrency payments on an experimental basis to start. Governor Elvira Nabiulina said they've already received applications from three businesses interested in trying this out. All precautions and risks will be monitored closely during the trial period before any full launch. The idea is to enable Russia to conduct international trade without relying on the U.S. dollar as a way to circumvent sanctions. Using crypto would provide an alternative payment rail outside the traditional financial system.
And this push towards crypto seems to be part of a broader effort by the BRICS countries, which include Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. What role could this play in the group's de-dollarization agenda?
Right. Russia may advocate for the BRICS bloc to adopt crypto payments more widely at the next summit in October. The thinking is if these major emerging economies can settle trade between themselves in cryptocurrencies, it reduces their dependence on the dollar. And it's not just crypto. Several BRICS members are also developing their own central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs. China is already piloting the digital yuan domestically. So over the next decade, if the BRICS are able to conduct more trade using crypto and CBDCs instead of dollars, it could start to chip away at the greenback's global dominance.
That's certainly an ambitious goal, but there would still be major hurdles to overcome before that happens, right? What challenges do you see?
Absolutely. This is still very much in the experimental phase. A key issue with using crypto for trade is the price volatility. The value of Bitcoin and other coins can fluctuate wildly, which makes it hard to use as a medium of exchange. Stablecoins pegged to fiat currencies like the dollar could help address that. Regulatory uncertainty is another big question mark. Most governments still haven't figured out how to treat cryptocurrencies from a legal and tax perspective, so a lot needs to be ironed out on the policy side. Not to mention the scalability limitations of blockchains, cybersecurity risks, and other technical challenges. But it's clear Russia and the BRICS see crypto as a tool to gain more autonomy in global trade.
Fascinating developments to keep an eye on. Thank you to our Simply Crypto correspondent for that report and analysis. On a related note, the Central Bank of Russia has indicated it is open to allowing the use of cryptocurrencies for international settlements. The regulator has historically opposed the use of crypto as a means of payment inside Russia, citing threats to the country's financial system. For more on this, we're joined now by our correspondent. So what exactly did the Bank of Russia say regarding crypto and international payments?
In a statement, the Central Bank of Russia said it supports the use of cryptocurrency in international settlements. Specifically, they said that crypto can be used to make payments for imports and exports, but only in cases where it doesn't enter Russia's domestic financial system. This is an interesting shift in stance from the central bank, which has long been skeptical of cryptocurrencies.
Right. And as you mentioned, the Bank of Russia has historically taken a hard line against crypto. What's behind this change in position?
It seems to be driven by the current geopolitical situation and the sanctions imposed on Russia by Western countries. With Russia increasingly cut off from the global financial system, there is growing interest in alternative payment mechanisms that can bypass restrictions. Cryptocurrencies, which can be transferred across borders without going through banks, could potentially serve this function.
But, the central bank is still opposed to the use of crypto within Russia itself, correct? What threats do they see it posing domestically?
That's right. The Bank of Russia's statement made clear that this support for crypto in international trade should not be viewed as a green light for its wider use within the country. They argue that the spread of crypto as a means of payment would pose risks to Russia's financial sovereignty and stability. There are concerns it could undermine the ruble and make it harder for the central bank to conduct monetary policy.
So, in the central bank's view, crypto is okay for international settlements, but not for domestic use. How does this position compare to the Russian government's stance on crypto regulation more broadly?
There have been some mixed messages from other parts of the Russian government on this issue. The finance ministry, for example, has shown more openness to legalizing crypto payments and regulating the industry. Just recently, they started the process of amending legislation to integrate crypto into the Russian economy. So there isn't always perfect alignment between the central bank and other agencies.
Interesting. So it sounds like the regulatory landscape around crypto in Russia is still evolving. Do you think this statement from the Bank of Russia will lead to more Russian businesses using crypto for international trade, or will the restrictions on domestic use be a limiting factor?
It's possible that this could encourage more Russian firms to explore using crypto for imports and exports, especially with companies that are already struggling under the weight of sanctions. The fact that such a senior financial authority is now blessing this kind of activity may provide some reassurance. At the same time, the ban on domestic crypto circulation does put some constraints on its wider adoption. It will be interesting to see how this all develops in the coming months.
Thanks for the insights into this developing story. And speaking of crypto, a Nebraska man, Charles O. Parks III, also known as CP3O, has been charged with operating a large-scale cryptojacking scheme that defrauded cloud computing service providers out of more than $3.5 million worth of services. He was arrested on Saturday and faces charges of wire fraud, money laundering, and engaging in unlawful monetary transactions. For more on this story, we're joined by our Simply Crypto correspondent. What exactly is cryptojacking, and how did Parks allegedly carry out this scheme?
Cryptojacking is a type of cybercrime where a victim's computer, tablet, or mobile device is secretly used to generate cryptocurrency without their knowledge or consent. In this case, prosecutors allege that Parks stole computing resources from two well-known cloud service providers in order to mine cryptocurrency for himself. By doing so, he was able to acquire over $970,000 worth of cryptocurrency, which he then laundered through various cryptocurrency wallets, exchanges, and bank accounts in an attempt to hide the illegal source of the funds.
And what kind of penalties could Parks be facing if convicted on these charges?
The wire fraud and money laundering charges each carry a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison, while the unlawful monetary transactions charges have a maximum 10-year sentence. So if convicted on all counts, Parks could be looking at a very lengthy prison term. The FBI has said they are committed to pursuing those who attempt to develop innovative techniques to commit cyber crimes. As criminals become more adept at manipulating digital tools and hiding behind advanced technology.
How prevalent is cryptojacking, and what can individuals and companies do to protect themselves against this type of cybercrime?
Cryptojacking has become an increasingly common form of cybercrime in recent years, as cryptocurrency has gained more mainstream adoption and value. For individuals, some key steps to protect against cryptojacking include keeping all software and operating systems up to date with the latest security patches, using reputable antivirus and anti-malware programs, and being cautious about clicking on suspicious links or downloading unknown files. Companies and cloud service providers need to have robust cybersecurity measures in place, carefully monitor usage of their computing resources, and be on the lookout for any unusual activity that could signal a cryptojacking attack is underway. As this case highlights, the consequences can be very costly if adequate protections are not in place.
It will certainly be interesting to see how this case unfolds and whether prosecutors will be able to secure a conviction against Parks for this alleged multi-million-dollar cryptojacking scheme. In other crypto news,
a fresh cryptocurrency wallet has withdrawn a whopping $17.43 million worth of coins from Binance, taking advantage of the recent market dip to buy a diverse range of altcoins. Here with more details is our Simply Crypto correspondent. So, what can you tell us about this massive withdrawal and the coins that were acquired?
This substantial withdrawal includes a variety of popular coins, with Avalanche AVAX leading the pack at nearly $1.9 million. Fetch.ai FEET follows closely behind it at $1.45 million. The wallet also scooped up over $1 million each of the Graph, GRT, Polygon, Matic, Optimism, OP, Render Token, RNDR, Polkadot, DOT, and Phantom FTM. Even Chainlink, Link, and Dogecoin, DOE, saw significant acquisitions of nearly $1 million and over $850,000, respectively.
It seems this whale wallet didn't just focus on the major players. What other lesser-known altcoins were accumulated in this buying spree?
That's right. The fresh wallet also bought up between $719,000 to $802,000 worth of tokens for each of several smaller projects like Pendle, Gala, Gala, Avigachi, GHST, Avolve, Avo, and DYDX, DYDX. Perhaps most surprisingly, the wallet grabbed a staggering 124.6 billion Pepe tokens, valued at $681,000. This diverse range of acquisitions, from established coins to newer projects, suggests whales are seeking value opportunities across the altcoin spectrum amidst the market downturn.
What insights can we glean from tracking these types of large transactions from major exchanges like Binance?
Monitoring substantial withdrawals from exchanges can provide a window into the strategies and sentiments of influential market players, the so-called crypto whales. In this case, the fresh wallet's diverse altcoin buys signal a belief that the recent dip presents a chance to accumulate a wide range of coins at discounted prices. Of course, whales don't always get it right, but their moves can sometimes foreshadow broader market trends or shifts in attention to certain projects. For everyday crypto investors, whale watching can be one more data point to consider in navigating the often choppy waters of the cryptocurrency markets.
Thanks for that enlightening breakdown of this intriguing whale wallet activity. It will certainly be interesting to see if this diverse altcoin buying spree proves prescient or premature as the market continues to evolve. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Crypto. We'll see you back here tomorrow.